This is bookcareers.com live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 91 of bookcareers.com live, and today we are joined by Alice Murphy Pyle, who is head of marketing at the recently launched Harper North division of HarperCollins. Now, Alice and I first met when she was a senior reporter for a regional newspaper, and her days were spent doing death knocks and attending inquests. She came to Book Careers as a client as she knew she was destined for happier times. So we're immensely proud of what Alice is up to today. Welcome, Alice.
Hello.
Now, we've got some questions for you, all come from the Book Careers Job Club. So let's just kick off. Could you tell us about your career journey and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, sure. So I read English and linguistics at university. I went to Leeds, and during that time I got quite involved in like various bits of writing, and I'd always enjoyed writing and everything. So I wrote for the student paper. There was like a women's magazine that I wrote for, so I really enjoyed that side of like my degree. So I kind of thought, okay, journalism is that's a career where you can write. So I started to think about that a little bit more carefully. And, you know, at the time I just didn't really know that much about publishing. So I went off to do a postgrad in journalism, which had things like shorthand and law, which have both actually come in quite handy in my actual career. And then I graduated into the last recession, and I was very lucky because I got a job very quickly. And then after a couple of years, there'd been a round of redundancies, and I think 30% of the staff were cut. So it just kind of knocked the heart out of it, really, and I started to think about what I could do next. So I was kind of late 20s at that time, and I was kind of asking people what they were doing, what they enjoyed about their jobs. And I got talking to a friend of my brother's whose girlfriend was, I think she was an editorial assistant at the time, at Quirkus. And he described her job, and I thought, that's what I want to do. That sounds really interesting. So I arranged to go for coffee with her, and it kind of went from there, really. So I did a couple of weeks at Quirkus of work experience, and then I did a couple of weeks at Transworld, and then I just couldn't get a job, which is how I first came to you and Book Careers, Suzanne. So you very kindly helped me to rewrite my CV to make it more publishing centric, and I started to temp. So I left journalism and just worked as a web consultant as a freelancer for Yell.com, which is what the Yellow Pages was kind of known as. And then it took me about 7 months and I got my first job, which was a 3-month contract at Simon & Schuster as a website assistant. Absolutely loved it. It was 3 months, so I didn't know what was going to happen. But as soon as I got in there, they were, I just kind of got my fingernail on in the industry, and then they made it, they extended my contract and then made me permanent. And then I was promoted later on that year. And then I moved to Transworld, and I was there for 6 years, and then started to kind of think again about what I wanted to do. And I'd kind of decided that working in London was not going to be a particularly good match for my life. So I've got a toddler now, whose bedroom I am sitting in. This is all her stuff, and I think when she goes to school it's going to be really hard to kind of both come into central London. So I started to think about what we would do, and over Christmas, we drove up to Manchester, which is where I'm originally from. And we kind of thought, okay, well, let's think about what happens next in our lives, really. And then in January, I saw the article that Ollie Malcolm, the executive publisher of Harper North, had written. He was interviewed in the bookseller. And I just thought, I want to be part of that. So it was announcing like a Northern trade publisher to be called Harper North. So I got hold of Ollie's email address and just emailed him and said, if you're ever looking for a marketing person, give me a shout. And luckily he was. So we had a coffee way back in January. And I kind of knew from March that I'd be doing, you know, that we'd be moving out of London. And then I was furloughed for 7 weeks from Transworld, and then I started at Harper North in June. So I have to say, like, changing jobs, as I'm sure you're all experiencing, is, you know, not the greatest during a pandemic. But the situation I'm in now is that I'm working from home for Harper North. I'm still in West London, and my house sale is going through glacially slowly. So everybody else is up north and raring to go, but we're all working from home. So we have a shiny new office, but none of us are actually there. So our office will be in Manchester Piccadilly when we open, which will probably realistically be kind of January time now.
That's great. So you've obviously worked on a lot of different campaigns for a lot of publishers. What would you say is your favourite campaign that you've ever worked on? And are there any upcoming campaigns that you're excited about?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've been, you know, really, really lucky to do is, you know, work with people who I've really admired for years. So working with Jilly Cooper was fantastic because she is just, for one, she's a lovely woman, but also she is one of my, you know, literary idols. And I used to read like The Man Who Made Husbands Jealous when I was about 12, and my parents are quite religious, and me and my sister would like read, you know, Pandora and stuff. And so working with Jilly was lovely. I think one highlight was working on a book called Bridge of Clay that came out 2 years ago by Marcus Zusak, who wrote The Book Thief. So it was his follow-up book. I think it was 12 years after The Book Thief. And I worked really closely with Sophie Christopher, who is an amazing colleague who very, very sadly died last year. And she and I came up with this campaign where we'd work really closely with influencers, and we designed this book arch at Waterstones Piccadilly, which was just fantastic. And the build of the books took weeks, and it was just a really, really lovely campaign. And when the author came over, he did an amazing series of events up and down the country, and he was, you know, such a joy to work with. So that was phenomenal, and that was just really stuck out as a highlight of something where, you know, Bridge of Clay is not an easy book to read. It's a real investment. It took me 3 weeks to read it, and that was kind of reading it for my actual job. So you know, it's an incredible story, and we had to kind of bring out that magic for readers and for booksellers and for bloggers and so on. And that was a real joy and a real labour of love for Sophie and I. And I only have one book coming up this year, which is going to be the first book from Harper North, which is very different. So it's non-fiction, by the senior football correspondent for The Independent, whose name's Melissa Reddy. She's written a book called Believers, which is about Liverpool FC's season. So I know you're a big football fan, Suzanne. you know, I don't think Dagenham and Redbridge are going to be trouble in the Premier League anytime soon. It's about Melissa has written this book, which is just like a love story to Liverpool FC, and she's got amazing access to Jurgen Klopp, the manager, and she's interviewed Jordan Henderson, who's very kindly given us a quote for the front of the book. And it's going to be really exciting. So that's coming out in November. So I'm kind of back into the swing of kind of building up partnerships and talking about the book online in a way that's, you know, driving pre-orders, hopefully, and using Melissa's social channels. And the other exciting thing is that for the first time I'm taking over publicity as well. So my job title is head of marketing, but I'm also working on the publicity for the campaign too. So kind of pitching to radio stations and organizing podcasts and so on. So, you know, I feel the chance to kind of expand my skills has been quite exciting as well. And one of the things with Harper North is that it's being run as a startup. So we are a small team. So everything feels like a bit of a scramble, but in a really exciting and creative way. So it can be slightly chaotic at times, but we get there in the end, and it's quite good to have that freedom. So yeah, we're enjoying it.
That's great. I mean, I was talking to about the book arch yesterday, actually. I showed Vanita a
photo. Oh, are you?
Because I would just say this was so amazing. And I'll try and link to it in the show notes, because if you haven't seen what was built, it really is quite impressive. And I'm not surprised it took weeks to do. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
That's all very exciting, and it sounds like there's a lot of creativity going on at Harper North. So when you're planning for a campaign, what are the main factors that you consider first?
I always start with the budget, because, you know, you can have as many ideas as you like, but if you, you know, only have a fizzy water budget, you can't have champagne campaign plans, really. So, you know, that's not to say that you know, the biggest campaigns are the best in any way, but just having that structure. So I think I'm somebody who is very creative. My mind is always going in about 200 directions. So if I was left to my own devices, you know, I'd be like, let's spend $2,000 on this, $3,000 on this, and then it all kind of, you know, it's always just spiraling off somewhere. So I have to spend some time just like bringing in the confines of the campaign. So I always look at the budget first, and always look at what the sales expectation is as well. So, you know, sometimes the budget isn't massive, but the sales expectation is, and that gives its own set of challenges. Sometimes if the publicity is going to be massive, then you might not have a huge marketing budget, and that will, you know, also feed into how that sort of campaign would work. So I kind of tend to take myself off and like go and sit in a coffee shop for an hour and just set my like goal, and then kind of work backwards and think, okay, well, how am I going to get there? And one of the things that I was always tasked to do in previous roles was to have like a backbone of my campaign. So I start with what we call a North Star, and I kind of think, okay, what is my North Star? So if it's making this the most talked about book of the autumn, as that was my North Star, for example, for the Marcus Cusack Bridge of Clay campaign. Okay, well, how do you make this book talked about? Well, you have something that's shareable on social media. And then it kind of feeds back in from there. And then it kind of brings the creativity, has to kind of form the branches off it. So you can, you know, it kind of having a really, really clear North Star just keeps it in line with everything else. Otherwise, you can have lots and lots of creative ideas, but they're not going to actually drive sales at the end of it. And, you know, for marketing, really, the end goal is to drive sales. You know, the publicity is the awareness, and then the marketing is kind of, you know, getting the sales goal. So I really try and stick with that. I haven't always been brilliant at it, but I always try and kind of have a clear goal and make sure that I know where I'm actually going. And then that helps the sales team as well. And, you know, it helps you to plan, because you think, okay, we need to have this number of pre-orders by 6 weeks before. And if that's not happening, then you need to re-evaluate your campaign. So I set goals based on, yeah, the sales and the budget. And then I kind of work backwards from there. But it's all, I mean, time is the biggest constraint, really, because you never have enough time to do everything you want to do.
And you're talking there about budget. How do you decide which books will get a big budget for campaigns as opposed to those that will get a smaller one?
So usually the marketing and publicity budget will be one and the same. Well, you know, they'll be decided together. So for example, if it's a huge, you know, bells and whistles campaign, you might need to tour the author. So that would have its own financial, you know, weight to it. And then if you did an outdoor marketing campaign, so an so tube posters or, you know, those 48 sheets, those billboards that you get at train stations, that would have, you know, a financial impact on your campaign. So the budget is usually decided between sales, publicity and marketing. And editorial are part of that campaign, but realistically it comes from the sales goal ultimately. So sales need to say this is going to be a huge book and we know it will, so we need to go all out. It's kind of more, there's more to talk about with the kind of slightly lesser campaigns in some ways, because there could be a campaign that you would spend a couple of £1,000 on, or there could be a campaign that you would spend £30,000 on. And there's sometimes a little bit of debate about what the expectation is around it, but ultimately the sales goals will dictate what the marketing and publicity spend is.
Yeah, okay. And Harper North, it's a huge step for HarperCollins to take. What do you think the advantages are to having a Northern publishing division?
I think, so it is a huge step, and there are lots of, you know, amazing indie presses and poetry presses and, you know, small publishers in the North doing incredible work. And I think one of the things that we're quite conscious of is, you know, being quite respectful of the fact that it's not a new thing to have publishing in the North. And, you know, we don't want to kind of be too, you know, self-congratulatory of kind of bringing publishing to the North, because there's so much going on, and you know, there's children's publishing and poetry and so on. So we've kind of had a little look and, you know, gauged the landscape and thought, okay, there is so much going on that we don't need to kind of go for in the market, because it's already being catered for. So we kind of are publishing books that we know are going to do well eventually. So we know that, so we're a trade publisher, which means that the books will sell in Waterstones, they're going to sell in supermarkets, they'll sell online as well. But you know, they're not going to be kind of experimental books. They're not going to be, you know, books that don't come out in hardback and paperback and audio. You know, they're going to be straightforward books. So I think it's really good to be kind of have that as a guide in our mind. So I think the benefits of having a Northern publisher are that there's so much creativity in the North, and there always has been. I think it's kind of twofold. So I think attracting new people into the industry. So I'm from Staleybridge, which is about 8 miles outside of Manchester. And, you know, I didn't really know that publishing was a career for somebody like me. I kind of thought it was, you know, I just didn't know anything about it. I didn't know there were any other functions other than editorial. So I think for people who want to get jobs in publishing, it's going to be really, really useful to have a Northern publisher. And I know that Hachette are coming in next year. And, you know, they already have a Hachette Children's office that's opening very, very shortly. I think for jobs, that's going to be incredible, and I think having trade publishing outside of London will give people something to aim for if that's what they want to do. I think in terms of the authors, that's where the benefit is really, really going to show, because there's always been an amazing range of creativity. There were loads of literary events in the North, and there are lots and lots of writing groups and networks and organisations for authors. And I think sometimes there's been a bit of a stumbling block to actually get to the point of publication for Northern authors. So I think there hasn't necessarily been full representation in the North, and also about what the North is, because it's not just cups of tea and Lowry paintings. You know, that is a very, very small amount of the people in the North. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of amazing nature writing coming out of the North, and there's some beautiful parts of the country that just, you know, they never get on TV. There's no tourists there. And we know that, you know, those sorts of places are underpublished because people just don't know about them. But then also, you know, there's a lot of like inner city areas, there's lots of poverty. There are lots of things going on in places like Newcastle and Leeds that they just don't really reach national attention. So having a Northern publisher will mean that we can be a little bit more varied in what we actually publish to kind of better represent the North, which isn't just kind of, you know, it's not just white people living in terraced houses, and we know that, but it's kind of publishing every voice from the North. And the other thing we're doing to kind of help that is having open submissions, so people can send their manuscripts to us. They don't have to have agents. But also we have a Twitter account, which is Harper North UK, where people can just come and chat to us. And, you know, we get lots of people who are writing and say, I don't really know how to kind of lay my manuscripts out. Can you help me? And, you know, we're answering those sorts of questions. You know, it's easy to think, well, you know, people need to find those things out for themselves, but actually asking us on Twitter is people finding that out for themselves. So we've got an email address where we're answering questions that people have about the industry. So that's hello@harpernorth.co.uk. So people can come to us and ask any questions that they have about getting into the industry, or any advice that they have, that we have. So we're kind of trying to meet people rather than expect everybody to come to us. But we're, you know, happy to answer any questions that people have.
Thank you, Alice. That seems an appropriate place to pause our interview with Alice Murphy-Pyle from Harper North UK. Next week, we'll be talking with Alice about the future employment opportunities that having a Northern publishing house can bring, as well as the skills that are essential for book marketing. Until then, if you are stuck in your publishing job search, please book into the Careers Clinic on the Book Careers website or email me at suzanne@bookcareers.com. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter at BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.